This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you. Please open your King James Bibles to the book of Judges, chapter 16, verse 4, where we left off last time. Judges chapter 16, verse 4. Excuse me. Just before we begin, I want to invite everyone under the sound of my voice to come to my school, Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida, every Thursday, or at least a Thursday once in a while, somewhere between 12 noon and 2 p.m. My twin friend Scott Merson meets me here, and we open our hearts and our doors to pray for you because we love you. Thursdays from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Come Sundays, 5 p.m., Word and Prayer, and Wednesdays, 6:30 p.m., Word and Prayer. And now for Judges chapter 16, verse 4. We left off last week with Samson, our hero, the judge, the man of God, escaping the Philistines by taking the city gate on his shoulders, bar and all, and the bar is the lock, and walking up a hill called Hebron. Many years later, a man called Jesus would walk with a cross on his shoulder and fall under the weight of it. And Jesus would walk up a hill called Golgotha, the place of a skull. The gates are set us free, and Jesus has the key that unlocks the door. Samson is a type of Jesus. Jesus came to save us from our sins. So we pick it up now. The next verse.
Verse 4, and it came to pass afterwards that he loved a woman in the valley of Sirik, and the woman's name was Delilah.
Now, a lot of people call Samson a womanizer. Not really. He just wanted his mate. The first woman he fell in love with, he asked her to marry him. And remember that horrible story. That was ended in horror. And he did make one mistake and had a one-night stand. But he's 40 years old now, and so he loves a woman named Delilah. It's not prudent, but it doesn't make him bad. Now, this place that she lives in the Hebrew means the vine or red, which means she lives in a wine place, wine press, okay? Now, remember, he took the vow of the Nazarite. He was never to cut his hair. He was never to eat any unclean thing, which is written in Leviticus 11, and he was never to drink wine. So we can see that he's a little bit flirting with trouble. Delilah.
Verse 5, and the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth.
Get up real close to him and touchy-watchy, you know, and see if maybe he's got an amulet or a charm about his neck. They were superstitious. Maybe there's something that you can steal from him, and then you can give it to us and listen to what they want with it.
And by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him.
So we want to arrest him, put him in handcuff, and afflict him. The word afflict in the Hebrew means to harness or to put a yoke on him. In other words, we want to use these supernatural strengths to pull down our old buildings and to grind our meal and just let him work for us like a horse.
And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. silver.
Uh-oh, 1,100 pieces of silver. Now, there's more than one lord. This would be the government of the Philistines. They're very evil. They are descendants of Cain. They are some of the children of the devil. They're the giants. They're very evil. And they're going to say, betray him for this silver. In biblical numerics, 11 means judgment, and 1,100 means inept administration. Judas betrayed Jesus for the price of a slave, 30 pieces of silver. Will Delilah betray the man she says she loves?
Verse 6. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mayest be bound to afflict thee.
Now, she might be beautiful, I don't know, but she's not very brainy. The lords of the Philistines did not tell her to say, so that we may afflict you. You don't say to somebody you're trying to cuddle up to, by the way, I want to arrest you, and then I want to harness you and make you work hard. So anyway, but she doesn't know any better because they said that, so she can't think for herself. I think it's called groupthink. She just repeats what she hears.
Verse 7, and Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that have never dried,
that would be catgut,
then shall I be weak and as another man.
I would not have any more strength than any other normal man. Now, you know perfectly well that Samson knows that she is doing this, and that she's not going, he's not going to give her the secret. That's what he thinks he's not. And so he realizes that she's intense on this. But if you notice Samson, way back when he was having his marital bachelor party, he loves to play mind games with people. He entertains himself that way. So to him, he's playing a game with her.
Verse 8, and the lords of the Philistines brought up unto her 7 green withs, which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Verse 9, now there were men lying in wait in the chambers where Delilah and Samson were.
Right in the room where Delilah and Samson are, and she's trying to get cozy with him to make him tell her where his strength is. These big old Philistines are hiding behind the curtains and behind a door. You think Samson didn't know that? See, he knew he had this strength, so he wasn't afraid. Well, I'm sure he saw their big old toes sticking out from under the curtains. He probably smelled them.
And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson.
I bet she stood up all night writing that line. That's her one line.
And he broke the whip. And the thread of tow is broken when it touches the fire.
He broke it so easily, it would be like putting flax in the fire. That's how easily, poof.
So his strength was not known. Verse 10, and Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me.
You have mocked me, Samson. Now, she's still being very friendly and cutesy because she wants the money.
And told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound.
I can assure you she's not sitting prim and proper talking to him like an intelligent person. There's a lot of touching going on.
11. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man.
I'd love to see his facial expression. This is the one, my darling, if you do this. He's got to do his best acting job. Right. It's not even close.
12. Delilah, therefore, took new ropes and bound him therewith, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson.
She knows her lines by now.
And there were liars in wait abiding in the chambers, and he brake them from off his arms.
Don't you know those Philistines ran out of there? They're afraid he's going to get a jawbone of a donkey and get them.
Like a thread. 13. 14, and Delilah said unto Samson, Hitherto thou hast mocked me, and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If thou weavest the 7 locks of my head.
Uh-oh, getting too close now. 7 locks. He's got all this hair. Obviously, he's got it separated into locks. 7 is number of God. Remember, he took the vow of the Nazarite to God. And a part of that vow was to never cut your hair.
With the web.
Oh, let me explain the web. Okay, what it was, he said, take a weaver's beam, that's a spinning wheel big, and you have threads that go vertical and you have threads that go horizontal. And to get those threads into each other, there has to be this little square. It's like a little web. And he said, take my 7 locks and weave it into the web. Oh, what a web of lies we weave when first we practice to deceive. Now, the only thing about Samson is he's getting too close to his hair. But you know, I think that Samson enjoys a challenge.
14, and she fastened it with the pin and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson.
I got a line right.
And he awake out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam with the web.
That's a new hairstyle. He gets up and he's got this weaver's beam, this great big old weaver spinning wheel hanging from his hair. Didn't even hurt him there.
Verse 15, then she said unto him, How canst thou say I love thee when thy heart is not with me?
Uh-oh. She said heart. That's Samson's. It's not a weakness. It's a beautiful thing about him. He's got a heart. Jesus has a heart that just loves so beautifully. But hearts that love so beautifully get so abused. In other words, she's saying, I thought we were in. I thought that what was on my heart was in your heart. And see, that's what he wanted all his life. God didn't send him to earth to have that. You don't have to get what you want here. You want to get what you gonna is coming to you there. That's when you're going to be happy. But she said the heart word. And he wanted, that was missing, someone to share his heart. Uh-oh.
Thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. 16, and it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death.
She just wouldn't let up on it. She wants the money.
17, and he told her all his heart. And
Daniel tells us that at the end time that Satan is going to try to wear out the saints, those of us who are chosen, who are going to stand before the Antichrist. He's just going to pick, 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 pick the little foxes for the vineyards. And just keep on with one thing after another, trying to wear you out. You know, you can handle a disaster every now and then, but these daily little things, and that's what she pulled on Samson.
All his mind.
He told her all his mind. Here's what it is. Samson loves this woman, and he had loved that first woman. That's all. And he's going to take a chance that maybe if he tells her the truth, that she will understand. Wouldn't it be great if this woman would understand his heart and his God mission on this earth? And so he's going to take a chance. Maybe Delilah will understand.
And said unto her, There hath not come a razor unto my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then will my strength go from me.
Now Samson said that. He says, if my hair be shaven, my strength will go from me. That's what Samson believed. And the Bible says, as a man believeth, so is he. Actually, that's not true. Where he got his strength was where all of these judges, Jephthah, Gideon, Deborah, got theirs, was the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. And that's where you get your power. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. But the vow to be a Nazarite, so that Spirit could come upon you, was to drink no wine, to eat no meat, the unclean meat, and not to cut your hair. That was the commandment, but that was not the strength. But he had begun to look at his gift and his hair as in a tangible evidence of his strength. Let me caution all of you who are gifted, and many of us are, because God gives these gifts so we can do his work. It is not the gift that enabled you to do anything, to heal the sick, raise the dead, teach, sing, or stand on your head. It is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Over and over, I walk to that door over there, and I start to come in to teach and pray and play the piano and sing and lead and lay hands on the sick and all the ministry that goes on day after day, year after year. But when I get to the door, I don't say, my gift's going to help me a good job. I bow down in great need in my spirit. And I say, Lord, you are my strength. You are my strength. You are my shield. You do this through me. Anoint me.
Amen.
And I shall be weak and be like any other man. 18. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he has shown me all his heart. When the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought the money.
She knew he was real this time. She had watched him. She had played on his heart. She had taken advantage of that beautiful heart of love. And so she called them, and they brought the money
in their hands. 19. And she made him sleep upon her knees.
Now see, she made him sleep. She's in a vineyard. I can assure you, she took some wine and put it in his food. I mean, you know, the mariner said to Jonah, awake, O sleeper! The body of Christ is asleep today. You're sleeping and you don't even know that the enemy has come and cut off your strength, cut off your hair. You don't even know the Antichrist is about to come and cut off your eternal life because you're going to think he's Jesus. Why are you sleeping? Are you drunk?
And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head.
Now, you know, if I was sleeping and somebody started shaving my head, I would know it, would you not?
No.
So, see, she put something in there, I can assure you. Even him telling her that, he knew she would try it, but he knew he would wake up. But she outsmarted him. She put something in that food, I can assure you. It doesn't say it in the Bible, but you know the very place she lives means vine in red.
And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him.
She was so hungry to see and hurry up and get that money. As his hair was being cut off, she began to punch him, or maybe take a long fingernail and go like that, or pinch. And she would notice that he didn't respond.
20. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson.
That's the last time she'll say that, thank goodness.
And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself.
He always equated himself with a lion. When a lion wakes, he goes outside and shakes his mane and then roars like he's the king. The only thing is, Samson doesn't have a mane. It's been cut off, so he can't roar.
And he wist not that the Lord had departed from him.
He did not know that God had parted Ichabod, as they wrote over one of the priests, Ichabod. Remember, the Spirit of God departed from Saul. Did the hair give him his strength? No, that was just a commandment. But by breaking the commandment, see, all of you have callings and places to be in life. And when you deliberately break that commandment and don't do it, that's why the Spirit of God's not on you. You have to obey to have the Spirit upon you.
21, but the Philistines took him.
The Philistines took him. There's Delilah looking at her money.
And put out his eyes.
The manuscripts say gored, G-O-R-E-D. That was the first thing they would do, because to be blind is the worst thing that can ever happen to a human being. To 1 minute be able to see, and the next not, your whole life comes to a screeching halt. There will never ever be one thing that is easy again. There will never ever be one thing that is like it was. From then on in, you're in the suspended place, and you've got to feel your way through the dark places all of your life. Total death, total pain. And probably the last thing he saw was Delilah dancing around with the money. You know he would like to have taken his hand and wiped the blood away. But the greater pain was that there was not one kind voice that came up and said, "Oh, Samson, I'm so sorry you're blind. I'm so sorry you're hurting. I'm so sorry this is a death for you. I'm so sorry that everything, even your shoelaces, everything, there's nothing to be the same. I weep for you." No hug, no tear, no kind word.
"And brought him down to Gaza."
Gaza is where Hillary Clinton gave $1 million of our taxpayer dollars so that the Taliban could kill our brother Judah. Just a little parenthesis there for the officials of the government listening.
"And bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house."
Okay, the prison house was a place for runaway slaves, and the punishment was to grind. The way they got their bread, they would gather the harvest, take it to the threshing floor, beat it, and separate the wheat from the chaff. Then they would take those kernels and hook up a great big grist stone, a great big heavy wheel stone, grist stone, to an ox or a horse. And the horse or ox would pull that stone around and around and around until the kernels were ground to powder, flour, to bake bread like you do, Angela. Okay, this is what they made him do. He didn't have the supernatural gift now. He was doing a yoke of oxen's work. So round and around with a young man leading his hand because he can't see. And every day we call this the daily grind to get the daily bread.
22, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again.
But God, hallelujah, here come the camels. You know what this reads in the manuscript? Howbeit his hair was restored as it was before. Wow. I think he had some supernatural help.
After he was shaven. Verse 23. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered themselves together to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god.
Dagon, he had a head of a man and a fish of a body, and they were going to praise Dagon because Dagon, they thought, had delivered Samson into their hands. See, the Philistines had come in and made slave of God's Israelites, and the Messiah Jesus was supposed to come through this lineage of Samson and all of that, and they were going to mess that all up. And God had told Samson to get rid of these Philistines. They were evil people. But it looks like they won. So they're going to have a party.
on to rejoice, saying, our God hath delivered our enemy into our hands. 24, and when the people saw him, they praised their God.
I can kind of understand it from their viewpoint. It's like we were so happy to see Osama bin Laden get his, weren't we?
Well, they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us.
So they're having a worship service, except this is drunken, to honor their God because they got Samson. See, Samson had really, he had gotten rid of a lot of the Philistines.
25, and it came to pass when their hearts were merry, that they said,
when they'd have a couple of flagons of wine,
they go for Samson. Well, he may make us sport.
Bring Samson out here. Make him entertain us.
And they called for Samson out of the prison house. And he made them sport. And they set him between the pillows.
Okay. The architecture of that day, there were two supportive pillows there. And the way it was, the pillows were so strong, the strongest material they had. And it held up the entire building. We know there's a roof. We know there's a third floor with several floors there. And all of these are filled with people. While on the roof, there are 3,000 of the high muckety-muck of the government, the lords and ladies of the Philistines. And there are people all in that building. It's a large building, and they're all over the ground. There are just thousands and thousands of Philistines there. And they put Samson between the two pillars that hold it up. But these pillars are pure steel concrete, heavy.
26, and Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand.
He had to have a lad to lead him, because somebody's got to, get you. He had to get from the prison house to there.
Suffer me that I may seal the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them.
Samson learned quickly what one learns when one day you can see and the next day you don't. You're going to have to learn how to feel everything. You don't just feel this button. You got to feel the button ahead of it and on both sides of the other. And you don't just feel the table. You got to feel what's on it. You don't just feel where the coffee pot is. You got to make sure where the cup is. You go through your life feeling, feeling, feeling. You feel people. So he knew that, said he may lean on it. The reason he wanted to lean on it is because when you have lost your sight, you're like suspended in space, and everything is a vapor around you, not a wall, an invisible wall. And so you learn to hold on to something. If you know a desk is there, you put your hand on it, or a chair or something to help you keep the awareness that you are in this body and on this earth. So he's going to feel the pillows and lean on them.
27. Now the house was filled with men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. 28. And Samson called upon the Lord.
And Samson called upon the Lord. Now the word Lord is here. This is good. He told Delilah, God. God is Elohim, God the Creator. That's right. This is the covenant name. The covenant name that God gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Samson knew that. Meaning that you're God's chosen people. The Messiah is going to come through your lineage. There, Samson. It means that you're God's child in a personal relationship. And he called upon the Lord.
And said, O Lord God, remember me.
Remember me.
I pray thee. And strengthen me, I pray thee. Only this once. God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes.
Let your strength come on me just one more time, that I may avenge for what they've done to my eyes. He was not evil in that. It was God's law in Exodus, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And the Nazarite priest was supposed to do that. The reason for that is the enemy sees that retaliation comes and they stop that. And so, is God going to answer?
29. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillows.
He felt the pillows. Now, I can assure you, he didn't just reach out and touch him. He had already felt the circumference, the little ridges, the notches, where to put the hand. He'd gotten his feet. He knew he wasn't going to move one inch forward or one inch back, because if he put out his hand, it wouldn't hit it. And when you're blind, if you put your hand out and you're trying to touch something, if you touch it one inch ahead of it, you miss it. He had it because of feeling.
Upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, the one with his right hand, and the other with his left.
And that man that went up Golgotha's hill, Jesus, stretched out his left hand on a cross, it was nailed. Stretched out a right hand on a cross, up Golgotha's hill, Jesus died to save his people.
And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon all the lords and all the people that were therein.
Boy, that's a great shaking.
So the dead which he slew at his death were more than he slew with his life.
You know, the Bible says you make a vow to God. If you don't keep it, he'll exact it from you. At this point, Samson's mission on earth is complete. He had gotten rid of many of the Philistines. That was his job, to begin that. And what happens when one champion kills the leaders, the head of the other group, like he got all those lords, that means then that the Israelites were back in charge. And so right then and there, he set the Israelites free for that point. This is not suicide. Samson is a type of Jesus. He died for his people. He just knew it was time to go home. Paul remembers Samson in Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith. By faith, Samson. Now we're going to have some proof that he delivered them.
31. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zoar and Espetal and the burial place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years.
He had a godly burial. See, his father and brothers, they wouldn't have dared to come get his body if the Philistines had not been conquered. And so we have Samson, a type of Jesus Christ. We'll see Samson. It's a sad story in a way, but it's a beautiful story. His mission on earth was to get rid of the Philistines, and mission accomplished, and great is his reward in heaven. Try to understand that you're about your mission and not about your fun. We'll begin right there next time. It's time now for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. And I would like to introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, anointed man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing good, Miss Sherry. That was a beautiful story today.
Isn't that?
Yeah, that is. Mm-hmm. Very, very much so.
Touching.
Yeah, we have our first question. Somebody wants to know, are you and Scott going to continue the prayer for us on Thursdays?
Absolutely. As long as God wants us to, yes. God is blessing and healing people, and yes, we absolutely.
Yeah, we're seeing it move, aren't we?
Yeah, we see
many different
ways. He moves every Thursday.
Yeah, it's awesome. And also, Does one have to come there for you and Scott to pray for them? They want to know.
You don't have to call in and leave your prayer request. Or if you know Scott, give him one. He owns the produce place in Suntree. Leave it there. Or me. But I'll tell you, if you can, it's really good if you can, because the tangible touch is so great. The Holy Spirit, I can tell you how it does with me. Jesus says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. The Holy Spirit comes up out of your spirit, and in my case, he'll flow up through my body, and he'll flow out through my hands, arms like a conduit onto my hands. Then I feel him bubbling up like a fountain, and there's a tangible transfer of the Spirit of God that comes from God through me onto the person. And touch is very important. That's why he says, lay hands on the sick and they recover.
Amen.
But you can also call in your prayer request, and that'll be fine. We do that. Between walk-ins, we pray, and prayer is powerful, and
yes,
we're praying for people all over the world.
Amen.
But David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag, but now let's hear Scott's stuff.
He is dressing you in the word. Follow the part of the word revealed unto you. Operate with only within your sphere, your territory I give to you. Do not let the enemy lead you out into an outside territory that the Lord has not given unto you, ground which has not been prepared or sanctified to receive the Lord's full presence. There are appointed times. Prepare for the appointed times. The enemy wants to draw you out into his territory upon ground you are not prepared for as yet. Do not get drawn out. Just as they tried to get Nehemiah down from the wall, the enemy will attempt to do the same to you.
That is so beautiful, Scott. Good Lord, have mercy. They drew Samson down a little bit there,
didn't they?
Don't let him take you off your focus. Find your purpose and just do it. This is not all. You weren't coming here for fun. You came here on a mission. So
Amen.
Be a missionary. If you're not saved, I want you to be saved. Please pray this and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I ask forgiveness for all my sins.
I ask forgiveness for all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To bring many people.
To bring many people.
To Jesus Christ.
To Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, if you prayed that in a minute, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number in a few moments. Feel free to call and leave that message. Now, let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, I ask now, O Son of Righteousness, that you will arise with healing in your wings. We move into the tonsil areas right there in the name of Jesus and the fire of God, that wings, that radiating beams of Jesus' healing virtue going to the tonsils, and there everything is repaired, no operation needed. The light touched the comfort there in the tonsils, repaired, restored in Jesus' name. Come off of the brain in Jesus' name. Brain be made whole in Jesus' mighty name. Deaf ears hear. Eardrum get back in order. Crippled legs walk. Nerve damage be made whole. Blood, kidneys. A new right kidney, a new left kidney. Perfect circulation, perfect assimilation, perfect elimination. Backbone, spine perfectly aligned in Jesus' mighty name. Pain be gone in Jesus' name. Pelvis, hips, right back in order. Feet and toes, perfect alignment. Thyroid, in Jesus' name. Stomach, settle down. Digestive system, peace be still to the stomach. Just kidneys and colon, all of this area in your digestive system, peace, be still. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Breast cancer, be gone in Jesus' mighty name. Liver cancer, be gone in Jesus' name. Crohn's disease, be gone in Jesus' name. With Jesus' stripes, you're healed. He sent his word and healed you. Thank you, Father. We give you glory.
Amen.
Now, when he gives you the telephone number, feel free to call and tell me you were healed. Now, don't forget Thursdays from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Scott and I will pray for you. And you can come many Thursdays or come whenever you want to, but just by 12, no, not earlier than 12, but before 2 p.m. Sundays 5 p.m., Wednesdays 6:30 p.m. Now remember this about Yeshua Jesus. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Now you know this is not given you to keep. Selfish people take everything and keep it for themselves. You're not selfish. Give it away and God will give you some more. I learned that. His kids giving you more. You'll never run dry. So go and share and tell. Until next time, this is Sherry Medlock with my twin friend Scott Merson. And we say we bless you and we love you. And until next time, go and blow the trumpet of truth.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
See me now. I wish I could show you how I'm not who I was. I used to be mad at you, a little on the hurt side too, but I'm not who I was. I found my way around to forgiving you some time ago, but I never got to tell you. In a photograph, I saw me and I had to laugh. You know I'm not who I was. You were there, you were right above me, and I wonder if you ever loved me just for who I was. When the pain came back again like a bitter friend, it was all that I could do to keep myself from blaming you. Thinking it's a funny thing, I figured out I can sing. Now I'm not who I was. I write about love and such, because I wanted so much. I'm not who I was. I was thinking maybe I should let you know. I never did forget your name. Hello. Amazing grace is the chance to give it out. Maybe that's what love is all about. I wish you could see me now. I wish I could show you how I'm not who I was.
Climb back up the hill. mercy fall on me like a warm blanket on my cold, cold heart. Clean me with your blood that turns me white on the inside. I'm on my knees again, 'cause I'm breaking your heart, your heart. Put in me what I cannot buy with gold. Put in me, oh God, come restore my broken soul. Put in me what I cannot give myself. Put in me a clean heart. A clean heart. I know all my broken places like the back of my hand. It slaps your face again. Wash me in your love and hold me tight like a baby. I have no memory ever breaking your heart, your heart. Put in me what I cannot buy with gold. Put in me, oh God, come restore my broken soul. Put in me what I cannot give myself. Put in me. In the joy when you restore me, I will stand and walk again. I will run into this world. I will call them to come in. But I will not point my finger or grow that wicked skin that cannot remember what I will not forget. How I broke you, or how I'm broken. Put in me what I cannot buy with gold. Put in me, oh God, come restore my broken soul. Put in me what I cannot give myself. Put in me a clean heart. A clean
listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, Titusville, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3.
Hear the holy roar of God resound. I won't pretend to know what you're thinking, and I can't begin to know what you're going through, and I won't deny the pain that you're feeling, but I'm gonna try and give a little hope to you. Just remember what I told you, there's so much you this tunnel, there's a light at the end of this tunnel for you, and there's a light at the end of this tunnel, shining bright at the end of this tunnel for you.